Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard. Was hard, but not anymore, thanks to WonderSuite from Bluehost. Answer a few questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make...
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ+ friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
Hey, and welcome back to another episode of The Straight Shooter Recruiter. I'm Emily, a recruiter by day and a podcast host by night. And this week is all kinds of special. As of this weekend, this show is the number one careers podcast in Canada on the Apple Podcast charts. I am over the moon. I honestly am just a girl with a microphone in her pajamas trying to share some really nerdy recruitment tips. And the fact that this show has reached so many people and helped out so many people honestly is just so rewarding. I could cry just thinking about it. So I had to stop and say thank you so much to everyone who's listened, everyone who's joined the community. I am so unbelievably grateful for you. This week on my Instagram, I asked you what questions you wanted answered. And if you're not already following me on Instagram, go over to @emily.the.recruiter because I've got so many amazing resources on my Instagram, lots of reels and lots of opportunities for you to send in your questions. So this week I got over 500 questions sent in. I am going to do my best to get through the most popular ones. We're definitely not going to make it through all 500. Like, you would be here all day. I don't want to do that to you. So I'm going to answer as many as I physically can. And in addition to answering your most popular questions, I'm also going to be covering a topic that is so critical and so important. It's mentorship. How do you find a mentor? How do you know when they're your mentor? Is there some special swearing-in ceremony that you need to be aware of? We're going to give you all the information you need on how to secure a mentor and also answer those top burning questions. So let's dive right on in. Right before we get into it, please, please, please rate and leave a review for the show. It honestly helps me so much, whether that's on Spotify, Apple, whatever your listening platform is. Please, I beg of you, give me some feedback. I'm all for the feedback. Okay, that's enough shameless plugs. Let's get started. So if you're new to my show, I would highly recommend that you check out the earlier episodes. I cover topics like networking, resumes, and interviews. And those are honestly the foundational skills that you're going to need. Mentorship is not going to help you if you don't have those. So if this is your first listen, that's amazing, but I would also recommend checking out those as well. When I was younger, I was honestly convinced that I didn't have to network. I thought that if my resume was pretty good and I kept applying for jobs, things would just work out for me. And looking back now, especially as a recruiter, I can tell you that's probably not the best way to go about things. And the reason for that is that up to 85% of full-time jobs are filled through referrals. And how do you get referred for a job? Spoiler alert, it's networking. So if you're waiting for a sign to start networking properly, I'm telling you this is it. But beyond just being referred for jobs, networking and finding a mentor is going to give you the opportunity to learn about so many different industries and also just generally learn from the experiences of others. And to find a mentor, you do have to network. That is the first step. So we're going to talk about networking and identifying a mentor today. I say usually, though, because there are some times where you might have a mentor already in your network. Maybe it's your boss, someone you work with. But today I'm going to focus on how to build relationships with people you don't know. Truly, how to talk to strangers 101. We know that step one to finding a mentor is networking. But what really is networking? In my mind, networking is the art of building relationships. It's not the art of meeting people just so that they can recommend you for a job or give you feedback on your resume. Networking is really about building genuine relationships that are two-way streets. So yes, you're going to learn from this person you're meeting with, but what are they going to take away from those conversations? Are they going to learn a little bit from you as well? What are you bringing to the table? Are you also being vulnerable? Good networking, and the good networking is the type that helps you find a mentor, really focuses on genuinely getting to know people. How can you learn from them? How can you be vulnerable with them? So if your goal is to get a job or just get a recommendation, it's time to adjust your goal. Yes, that's of course important, but you're not going to get there by just focusing on business. You're not going to get there just by asking to be referred for jobs nonstop. You have to put in the effort to get to know someone before you start asking for those favors. The first thing that you need to do is figure out what you want to learn. Oftentimes, people will focus on industries that they want to learn more about. Maybe it's tech or finance, maybe it's HR, but there's also a lot of value in learning from people in different industries or fields. So step number one, what do you specifically want to learn? Do you want to learn more about a very niche skill, perhaps public speaking or sales? Or are you looking to learn more about how to grow your career in a given area? It's really important that you know what you're looking for so that when you start researching people to reach out to, it's on par with what you're looking for. It's actually aligned to what your goals are. So once you have a sense of what your goals are, maybe it's careers in finance in the Toronto area, it's time to log on to LinkedIn. You're going to reach out to a couple of different people, and I'm literally going to give you everything you need to do that well. So you're going to head on to LinkedIn, and you're going to search for people who match this criteria. You're going to type in keywords like, I don't know, sales manager or district manager or recruiter, some of the titles of people you think you would like to learn more from. My advice, don't reach out to CEOs. I know it sounds really glamorous to network with people in very high positions, but the odds that they actually respond to your LinkedIn message are pretty low. And you can't get a mentor if they ghost you. So that's my two cents. I would focus on people who have a few years of experience under their belt, but definitely aren't so senior that they won't reply. So once you find a couple of people that you're interested in connecting with, stop. You heard me. Don't do a thing. Don't even think about reaching out until you listen to this next part. Take a critical look at your LinkedIn and at your resume. Is it representing you in the best possible way? Because listen to this. Imagine you reach out, have an amazing kind of wonderful message prepared for this person. You're so excited for them to respond. And they look at your LinkedIn that has no profile photo, no work experience, and really nothing to do with what you reached out about. They are not going to respond. You need to make sure that your LinkedIn is a very accurate reflection of where you are at in your career and what you are looking for. Again, if you need tips on that, I have a whole episode dedicated to LinkedIn, so check that out. Like I said, you can't have a mentor if they never reply to your message. I go into this in more detail in my networking episode, but I'm going to keep it short and give you a SparksNotes summary. When you find someone you're interested in connecting with, I would recommend reaching out with this structure. I know some people push back and say, well, what does it matter what I say? I'm just going to send a message and see if they reply. Please don't do that. Just try this structure. Using this structure gives the person reading this the perfect amount of information, and it really sets a professional but approachable tone to you reaching out. So here's what I would do. I would reach out, maybe it's with your LinkedIn invitation, or if you're already connected, just in a message directly to them. You could also use this in an email if you do have someone's email. You're going to start with your name, what you do, what you're passionate about, and why you're reaching out, as well as a call to action. So I'm going to put that all together. This is what it might sound like. I'm Billy. I'm a finance student, and I'm passionate about the world of investment banking. I'm reaching out because you've had a very successful career at the bank, and I'd love to connect over the phone for 20 minutes. Is it possible for us to please do that? Feel free to let me know sometimes that might work. There you go. There's the Krabby Patty formula for a good reach out. It is crisp. It is clear. I know exactly what you want from me. And most importantly, I know what you're trying to learn. So I'm able to assess if I'm actually the right person for you to connect with. Pending their acceptance, you're going to book about a 25 to 30 minute career conversation with them. I personally prefer Zoom conversations. Having that virtual / in-person experience is much better than just over the phone, but you should really just be doing whatever this person prefers. Some people just prefer to be over the phone, and that is completely fine as well. So before your career conversation, you're going to have to do some research, and I'm talking some serious research, mostly creeping this person on LinkedIn. So what you're going to do is go through, take down a bunch of notes, really think about what pieces of experience you want to learn from. You should actually be putting together specific questions that you'd like to ask based off of their experience. Perhaps it's based off of companies they've worked in, accolades they've reached, or even articles that they've commented on. So be really thoughtful about the kinds of questions that you're asking. A really great agenda for your first conversation, of course, after you wrap up the small talk, is you introducing yourself again. I mean, of course, you've done it over email, but this is different. So you're going to reintroduce yourself with an elevator pitch that calls out who you are, what you're passionate about, and why you love what you do. You're then going to ask them to introduce themselves and maybe share a little bit about their career journey with you. And then you segue into that beautiful list of questions that you already came prepared with. Remember how I said that networking is the art of building relationships? Make sure you don't rush through the small talk. How are you going to build a relationship if you don't spend any time getting to know them outside of work? Don't be scared to ask them questions about their favorite food or the most recent trip that they went on, or maybe how they've been passing the time now that the world looks really different in 2020. So it's really important that you spend time actually getting to know that person. You can treat this conversation like you're meeting a new friend. I mean, a friend that you want to learn a lot from, but a new friend nonetheless. And a lot like a first date, you're going to know by the end of that conversation if you're interested in meeting with this person again. You might have met with someone where their experience isn't exactly what you were looking for, or maybe you're just not aligned in terms of your communication style, or they're just not quite as interested in perhaps mentoring someone. But on the flip side, and obviously the much more exciting side, you're going to meet people that you just can't wait to speak to again. They're passionate, they're brilliant, and they're really excited about mentoring students or professionals. There are people who love to mentor at all stages. And these are the people that you want to make your mentor. As exciting as it is that you found someone you want to make your mentor, you just have to chill. Chill out. You are not going to call this person back right away and say, "Mentor me, please." You are not going to write an email 30 seconds after you hang up begging them to be your official mentor. We're not going to get down on one knee and ask them to be our mentor for life. No, that is not what we're going to do. What we are going to do is send them a nice thank you email after your conversation. Let them know that you genuinely appreciated their time. Maybe call out a couple of interesting things that you learned in the conversation. And then, this is the most important part, you're going to ask if they would be open to connecting again in a few weeks. If they say yes, obviously book some more time with them and rinse and repeat. In your second, third, and even fourth conversations, you definitely still want to come prepared. Have some questions that you want to ask, but be really thoughtful about what those are. What did you learn in that first conversation that you can bring up and build on in the most recent one? Was there an interesting project that they worked on that you want to ask about? Perhaps a family vacation that was probably canceled because it's 2020 that you want to ask about. So be really thoughtful about what you bring up so that you can build that relationship. So do you want to know how to make this person your mentor officially? The trick is just never stop having those career conversations with them. That's it. You're going to get into a flow where eventually you don't need to have all of these questions prepared. Some people like to have a formal discussion and ask the person, you know, after a couple of meetings, "Will you be my mentor?" Others, aka me, will just keep having these career conversations and let the relationship evolve naturally over time. For me, that's the least awkward. I am just far too awkward as a person to say, "Hey, can you mentor me?" So I kind of go with the flow and just put really consistent effort into that relationship. The beauty is you can have many mentors. You can have many different people to learn from in all different industries at all different times. And if you are preparing for those conversations and are really consistent with maintaining those relationships, you are going to get there. You are going to find a handful of mentors who will impact your career in ways you didn't imagine. I do often have people ask, "What's the point of investing in one or two relationships when I could use that energy to meet with 10 or 15 different people every week?" And here's kind of my response to that. If you find someone who is genuinely going to be able to teach you skills, give you feedback, and help you get connected to other companies or other people in their network, that is so valuable. That is someone you want to invest in. If you have one-off career conversations without following up and without having those conversations be reoccurring, you're not really going to get anywhere because you haven't built relationships. And that is really the name of this game. So, one other thing I want to call out that's really important is how vulnerable you are in those conversations. I always recommend for people to ask for feedback at the end of every single career conversation. Oftentimes, people won't have that much feedback to give you, but they might give you golden nuggets of knowledge. Like, I would recommend phrasing things this way this time, or for you, I would recommend taking this course or reading this book. I would always ask for feedback at the end of every single conversation. It really sets the precedent that you're always willing to learn. Building that relationship takes effort, it takes consistency, and it takes vulnerability. It takes emails once a month, checking in on that person just to see how they're doing or looking for updates on something cool they were working on. It's also a meeting once every month or two to make sure you have consistent career conversations. It's asking for feedback. It's asking to be connected to other people in their network. It's asking for where you can learn and take on new opportunities to grow. Basically, it's about investing in genuine relationships. For me, I have benefited from so many amazing mentors in my life and in my career. Most of the people were people that I reached out to on LinkedIn doing exactly what I said in this episode. But a lot of the other relationships that were mentors really came from people I already worked with. And it was just setting up time to have regular career conversations and giving myself the space to learn from them. And now, although I am still relatively early in my career, I am now a mentor. I am on the other side of the experience. I mentor people in tech and in HR, people who are interested in learning about recruiting or are just starting their careers and need some advice. I sometimes feel like this podcast is also a mini mentorship relationship so that I'm able to connect with so many people all at once. All to say, I mentor because I love it and I love giving back. I love helping educate people. I love helping people get their careers on the path that they want to be on. And you are going to find someone who loves that too. So be consistent with your networking. Get really thoughtful about who you want to reach out to. And when you find someone you want to learn from, put the effort in to keep that going. It's time for my favorite part of every week. It is questions of the week. Let's do this. So one of the questions I got several times in the Instagram story that I posted was, is your content and advice just for students? The answer is no. All of these resources that you get, whether it's from Instagram, from the podcast, or just us chatting via DM, these are kind of universal career tips. So these are the things that are going to be great for you if you are an executive or if you are a student. So that's the first one I kind of wanted to tackle. The next is, how do I rebrand for a career change? I got this question at least 15 times in the bundle that I got. And really, in my mind, there's three major things you need to focus on. The first is making sure that you have the skills for the change. So if you're moving from finance into recruitment, have you looked at popular applicant tracking systems? Have you done research on recruitment best practices? So step one is make sure you have the skills you need to be successful. The next is get networking. Start to understand what makes people in that new field really successful. So this is a great episode to answer this question in. So definitely make sure you're building your network and building relationships for people who can coach you, give you insider tips and tricks. The next is, your unique experience is your superpower. Make sure that you keep that energy on your application and in your interview. You having a unique background, whether it's academic changes or a total career switch, is going to make you a unique thinker. You're going to think about problems differently. And that is not a bad thing. That is your superpower. So when you're in an interview and you are coming from a background that's a little bit different than other people, maybe you started in recruitment and now you're trying to get into finance, you need to make sure that you sell how your previous experience makes you a unique thinker, makes you a problem solver. What unique skills do you bring to the table because of this career change? A question that I got quite a few times as well is, should your job descriptions on LinkedIn be the exact same as your resume? Honestly, I don't think it matters too much. So long as you have accurate descriptions in there, I think it's completely fine just for you to copy and paste what's on your resume. I'm a big believer in not duplicating work. So I would say give it a little copy paste and you'll be just fine. The next question that I got quite a few times was on how to handle rejection after an interview. I have an entire episode on this, so I would recommend checking that out if you're in a tricky situation or feel like you need a little bit more detail. But here's overall what my advice is. After you get rejected from the role, let's say it's over the phone, I would actually recommend asking for feedback while you're still on the phone. But if you need a little bit of time to process, or maybe you got the rejection in an email, I would send over an email to your recruiter. Don't send it to the hiring team. Make sure that it's your recruiter. They're the person who actually has the feedback information and is able to give it to you. So I would reach out to the recruiter, thank them for their time, thank the team for their time, you know, reiterate how it was a nice process for you, if it was. Of course, you have to be honest. But I would actually just be very blunt and say, I would love to learn more about where I can improve for next time. Would you be comfortable sending me over some feedback via email? Or maybe we can set up 15 minutes for a phone call. That's kind of my best approach. And every time I get one of those emails, I do my best to get back ASAP with that feedback. So it's a completely normal thing to do, and I would highly recommend doing it. It's actually a really good trait to have and will help you grow on your career journey. The next questions that I got were actually about resume color, and I didn't expect so many questions on color. It was kind of a cool one. So I had a few people ask, what color should my resume be, or what colors are okay to put on your resume? I'm a big believer in dark colors. There's two reasons for that. Reason number one, on your computer screen, darker colors are just generally easier to read. Part number two is, believe it or not, some people still print out resumes when they review them. You never know. I would highly recommend having those dark colors, because pale colors or really neon colors are going to be difficult to read when they're printed. So that's kind of a little tip I have for you there. Are you sick of me yet? You can be honest. I'm kidding. Please don't be honest. If you're sick of me, just exit out of this episode. I won't take it personally. But thank you for hanging out with me for the last 20-something minutes. I genuinely appreciate your time. And I honestly hope that these mentorship tips were helpful. If they were, let me know. I want to hear your success stories. I want to hear what worked for you. Send me a DM. I'm always here to help. Before you head out, please, please, please leave a rating and a review if you found this or any of my episodes helpful. It genuinely helps me out so much. But thank you so much for your time, and have a fabulous week ahead. I will hang out with you next week.
Here in Key West, we were out before it was in. In this open and inclusive paradise, you can be yourself, make new friends, and savor our live and let live vibe. With LGBTQ plus friendly accommodations, our legendary nightlife, and year-round activities and events, it's always a good time to come as you are. Key West, close to perfect, far from normal.
With Starbucks Holiday Blend for Nespresso Virtuo, now exclusively at Target, there are even more ways to share the joy. Savor every smooth and festive sip all holiday season with friends and family at home to fill every indulgent day with cheer.